Our next presentation is on population-based surveillance for methicillin-resistant Staph aureus infections among high school football players and wrestling participants in Nebraska 2008 through 2010. The presenter will be Dr. Byron Buss. Dr. Buss serves as commander in the U.S. Public Health Service, and he is a career epidemiology field officer to the Office of Epidemiology in the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Buss.
Thank you. Good afternoon. I don't have any relationships to disclose also. Community-acquired methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus is a common cause of non-healthcare-associated skin infections among persons of all ages, and it's the most common cause of skin infections among emergency department patients. Otherwise healthy athletes are at higher risk because of several identified risk factors. These risk factors include physical skin-to-skin contact, sport-induced skin damage, body shaving, and sharing of contaminated equipment, bars of soap, towels, razors, clothing, and other personal items. Previous surveillance in Nebraska has found that MRSA is more prevalent among high school athletic departments than indicated by a limited number of outbreak reports. And our work previously established MRSA as an emerging cause of infections among Nebraska high school athletes from 2006-2007 to 2007-2008. This work was published in the Journal of School Nursing in August of 2009. In that work, we found no differences in MRSA infection distribution on the basis of grade, location, or the number of participants per team. But we did demonstrate a substantially higher incidence among participants of contact sports, and namely wrestling and football. This table shows those estimated incidences of the physician-diagnosed MRSA infections among Nebraska athletes, and you can see in the top row for football, in 2006-2007, we demonstrated an incidence rate of 5 per 10,000, and in 2007-2008, that increased to 25.1. Similarly, in wrestling in 2006-2007, we came up with an incident estimate of 19.6, and that increased to 60.1 in 2007-2008. So on the basis of those findings, further investigation was recommended to monitor the apparent increasing incidence, and surveillance conducted at regular intervals has since been continued to monitor trends. The objectives of our surveillance were to establish incidence estimates in each school year of the MRSA infections among the wrestling and football participants, and to determine the number of MRSA infections among participants of other fall and winter sports. To accomplish our objectives, we've maintained a list of official contacts in each Nebraska high school, and this information has regularly been updated. MRSA prevention and control resources and findings of our ongoing surveillance are regularly provided to the schools, and this fosters collaboration, promotes athlete health, and has enhanced the response rates to our surveys. Over these 3 years, 6 internet-based surveys of all Nebraska high schools have been administered to all the high schools at the completion of the respective fall and winter sports seasons. And the surveys are completed by school officials associated with the athletic programs and having knowledge of the procedures for prevention, identification, and control of skin infections among athletes. The data collected in the surveys include the number of schools that offer football and wrestling programs, the number of football and wrestling participants per school year during the 3 school years, the number of athletes with physician-diagnosed MRSA infections, and the date of onset, sport, and grade in school. From this data, we were able to calculate statewide attack rates per 10,000 football and wrestling participants in each of the 3 school years. So in this table, we have the survey response rates and the numbers with football and wrestling programs by the school year and by sports season. So in the first row, we can see that 239 of 312 schools responded for a response rate of 76.6%. And that was in the fall season. In 2009-2010, our response rate was 80.4%. And in 2010-2011, our response rate was 79.1. Nope, sorry about that. Don't have room to get over there with the cursor. So. apologize. In our next line here, the number with football programs was 233 for 97.5% of the 239 that responded to the survey. In 2009-2010, 247 reported having football programs, and in 2010, 240 reported having football programs. In the winter season, 177 of 312 responded for a response rate of 56.7%. In 2009-2010, our response rate was 80.4%, and in 2010-2011, our response rate was 72.2%. In 2008-2009, we had 138 wrestling programs out of the 177 that responded, 189 in 2009-2010, and 174 in 2010-2011. This slide lists the number of schools reporting one or more physician-diagnosed MRSA-affected football and wrestling participants. So in the first row, in 2008-2009, 15 of the 233 reporting schools reported one or more MRSA-affected football and wrestling participant for 6.4% of the schools affected. And in 2009-2010, 3.6 were affected, 9 of 247. And in 2010-2011, 4.2%, or 10 of 240. And with our winter survey, 7.2% reported affected participants in 2008-2009 in wrestling, 10 of 138, 7.4% in 2009-2010, and 5.2% in 2010-2011. This table lists the number of MRSA cases reported and the attack rates by school year and sport. So in 2008-2009, 20 football players were reported with a median of 1 per team and a range of 1 to 2 per team. In 2009-2010, 13 were reported, and 13 were also reported in 2010-2011. Going across then, in 2008-2009, 10,511 football players were reported, with 31 as the median per team, 11 to 285 as the range per team. And then using these numbers as the denominator for our calculation, in 2008-2009, we came up with a reported incidence of 19.0 per 10,000. And as a reminder, I've footnoted what our response rates were, what our incidence rates were in 2007-2008. So in football, it's 25.1. And we see that it decreased a little bit. And then in 2009-2010, it dropped further to 11.5 per 10,000. In 2010-2011, it dropped to 11.3. For wrestling in 2008-2009, 16 were reported. In the subsequent school year, 09 to 2010, 17 were reported. And in 2010-2011, 9 were reported. And our incidence rate in 2008-2009 was 60.8, which was very comparable to the 60.1 that was previously reported, decreasing a little bit in 2009-2010 to 50 per 10,000, and then further decreasing to 28.1 per 10,000. In 2010-2011. This table lists the grade of the MRSA-affected participants in both football and wrestling at the time of onset. And as expected, we really didn't see a difference in distribution on the basis of grade, and that's very consistent with our previous findings. And this last table lists the number of MRSA cases among participants of other sports by school year and sports season. Most notably of interest is the fact that in 2010-2011, our number reported increased to 17, and this was seven volleyball players, 3 softball players, 1 with sport not reported in the fall season, and 6 basketball players in the winter season. So we can see from our findings that the number of reported MRSA infections among participants of contact sports decreased substantially from 2008-2009 to 2010-2011. And the 2008-2009 incidence of reported MRSA infections among football and wrestling participants was similar compared to the previously established estimates. The estimated incidence then did decrease steadily and substantially from 2008-2009 to 2010-2011. Also, the number of reported MRSA infections among participants of softball, volleyball, and basketball increased during 2010-2011 when compared with numbers reported during preceding years, and this isn't consistent with our finding in the contact sports. Our work is subject to certain limitations. First off, we weren't able to verify the accuracy of a diagnosis, and because of that, we weren't able to establish a rigorous case definition because we were working on physician diagnosed cases only. However, we have maintained a consistent method of case ascertainment for all surveys over the years that we've done this surveillance. Surveying at the immediate end of the sports season would not capture cases with later onset, and finally, reporting is solely dependent on respondent recall. So in conclusion, our estimated incidence of physician-diagnosed MRSA infections among Nebraska high school football and wrestling participants decreased substantially during 2010-2011 compared with previous years. And the apparent increasing incidence in these contact sports demonstrated previously has not continued. By maintaining updated contact information of at least one official in each of the Nebraska high schools and communicating regularly, we have continued surveillance with high response rates to monitor MRSA incidents among athletes in contact sports for over five consecutive years. And our recommendations on the basis of our work is that surveillance to monitor MRSA incidents among Nebraska high school athletes in contact sports should be continued, and that surveillance should be enhanced to determine participation numbers in volleyball, softball, and basketball to establish and monitor instance estimates among athletes in these non-contact sports. So I'd like to thank Dr. Thomas Franick, my co-author, the Nebraska School Activities Association for supporting our work, Dr. Jim Tennifer and Jennifer Schwartz, and most importantly, all the high school officials through Nebraska who have responded to our surveys and made this work a success. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Dr. Buss. That was a very interesting presentation. I see there's a question all the way in the back. I'll ask you to speak up, but maybe if you can repeat the question.
Sure.
Well, we don't, first of all, we don't get identifiable information, so we really aren't able to say if one participant had it in one sport that they had it in another. I will say that very seldom did we see schools that reported one in football report one in wrestling. It did tend to be different schools, and the majority of schools, as you can see from the median per team, is one. The majority of schools didn't report more than one. That was a concern, but we were pretty clear in asking the sport that they were playing at the time of the onset. Yes? In the back? We kind of left it up to the schools on how to collect the information. First of all, we really didn't define who our respondent was going to be. A lot of the schools don't have athletic trainers. A lot of them don't have school nurses. And we did leave it up to the schools. What I found over the 5 years that we've done this, though, is that they do maintain pretty good records within their schools, because as you can imagine, there's a lot of interest from parents and other teams. Like if a school had an affected athlete, there's a lot of interest from the other schools that they're playing in competition. So they do a really good job of documenting this information. So, we kind of err on the side of, very elaborate methodology and more to like practicality and just being able to get an incidence estimate. And that's truly what it is. Yes, in the fourth row. The one behind you there, and I'll take yours. Sorry. Well, 2007, 2008 is when we actually did the first survey. And we had a number of schools that had affected athletes, and there was quite a bit of information in the media at that time. So there was a lot of interest. So it could be related to the fact that was a little bit of a higher incidence just because there was a lot of public awareness about it. But then at the same time, when we were doing the work, we were actually providing a lot of prevention recommendations and how to intervene and manage these situations in teams. So I think some of it is the fact that there was a lot of awareness at that time, and even among the medical community, there was probably more diagnostic work being done. And I think it was the schools were more in tune to that, that they were looking for it. And it might be a situation now, maybe there's a little bit of complacency, but I think that they've done a good job of managing their teams and trying to affect the way their players handle themselves, the hygiene, and I think some of it's related to the fact that the schools are doing a good job. I'm very concerned, though, the fact that we're seeing it dropping in football and wrestling, and we're seeing it going up in the other sports. And I'm wondering if they aren't doing as good a job. The bottom line is, though, it kind of goes back to what gets measured gets done, and I think the fact that we're looking at it, just that helps the schools kind of keep it on the front burner. So, yeah.
Surveillance question for you. The surveys seem like they take a lot of effort on the part of the staff to accomplish. What's wrong versus not a reportable condition in your state? So what's the trade-off here? Why wouldn't you want to try to make it a reportable condition and instead try to get by using these surveys to estimate incidents?
Well, first of all, to make it reportable, it would take a rule and regulation change, and some antimicrobial resistant organisms are reportable in Nebraska, and MRSA is. But there's a lot of them, I think, that get diagnosed by a physician very empirically, and those we would never get through our reportable disease mechanisms, and I've looked to see of cases, I don't find much correlation, say, in geography where these cases that are reported through a reportable disease mechanism are. This is actually a really easy process for me. I did it when I was first in Nebraska as an EIS officer, and the first time it took a lot of work to get to the schools. But what I did was I was able to get fax numbers from all the schools from the School Activities Association. I sent a fax out with an internet-based survey link. And they did it through the survey online. And now, with it being an internet-based survey, I actually did the work, and I spent about 3 hours before I came to this conference. And I've got it set up so that I can pull the trigger on my survey when I get back and next Monday start the survey. And typically, I'll have at least a 40%, maybe a 50% response rate by noon that day. That's how motivated these people are, because they find me as kind of the go-to person for these type of infections, and they really kind of appreciate the fact that they know that they've got somebody they can go to. So it's really not a labor-intensive process. And I by noon that day, I basically have a pretty good handle of what the incident rate's going to be. Now, obviously, it's not a lab-confirmed diagnosis and that type of thing, but just from the standpoint of being able to get quick information and have an understanding of what's going on, it's pretty unique that way. So, thank you.